John, this is a question I have for you. I didn't expect the Texans to go after a defensive lineman in free agency. I did expect them to lose probably two out of their three free agents because they had Joel Heath, Brandon Dunn, and Angelo Blackson, who are all kind of cookie-cutter 3-4 defensive tackles, nose tackles, defensive ends. They're 3-4 defensive linemen. And those guys are really good at doing what the Texans do well, which is stop the run. But one of the things that's concerning me about the Texans' pass rush is they don't really have any good interior pass rushers. JJ would be if they used him. But sometimes, especially when the defensive ends make an inside move and the quarterback gets flushed out, they really don't have any inside guys that can chase those guys down. Is there a chance? Like, I didn't expect them to go after Malik Jackson in free agency or anything like that. But now with the extreme needs at offensive tackle and cornerback, I don't see how they can necessarily fill that spot in the draft either. Are they like, do they want to address that? Are they looking for more of a pass rush from the interior?
I think they'd love to have an interior pass rusher, and it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't use, say, that third round pick on an interior pass rusher and try to develop him. But those three guys you mentioned are all coming back. But we talked to Brian Kane about that, and he said, yeah, we'd love to have one. Everybody would like to have that inside guy. It's a good draft for that too. Last week in my mock draft, I had them taken with a second pick in the second round. Dermont, who's a guy from Ohio State. My mind's gone blank.
Which position?
Defensive tackle. Dermont Jones. Is that his last name?
It's Jones. And I think it's Dermont Jones.
Dermont Jones. Yeah. In the second round. I don't think he'll be there when they pick in the second round, but maybe they'd have to invest in that pick. I think a lot of it has to do with what they do in free agency at offensive tackle. Would they be good enough just to draft a tackle in the first round, corner in the second, and maybe an inside pass rusher in the second, another corner in the third?
You know, I'm interested in watching over the next couple of years is Christian Covington and see how he does in Dallas. I think that scheme's going to fit Christian Covington's skills a lot better. He's, of all those free agency defensive tackles, he's the one that they didn't re-sign, the Texans didn't re-sign, and he was the one that was least like a 3-4 defensive lineman. Like, he actually has some ability to get upfield. If you look at his playmaking production, like on a per-play basis compared to those other guys, he's been way more productive. And I don't know, was it injuries? I know he was injured this year, but it seemed like he was inactive a lot of times for non-injury reasons either. Like, why did they not like
him? I think that they didn't make him an offer, and he went to Dallas on a one-year deal because he feels like in a 4-3, playing inside, he's going to be better. Might help him get more money next year, but they were not bringing back he or Kareem Jackson.
Right, but I mean, like, even during the season, he seemed underutilized.
I don't know. They would never say.
It seems like he was in the doghouse for whatever reason.
He was in the doghouse. The guy's done something to get in trouble. No. Okay. Christian Covington was a model player and a model citizen and a great guy.
John McClain.
There have been other model citizens and great guys that, for whatever reason, Bill O'Brien didn't seem to, like, wasn't his guy, like Brandon Brooks.
Coaches are weird.
Usually you got to do something to get in a doghouse.
Yeah.
And like, there have been a couple guys through the years, but not Covington.
No, I wasn't even saying that other than that, like,
I just threw
were
it out
they
there.
Out on him for some reason?
Yeah, for okay. some reason was O'Brien.
I know, I know specifically that, like, Covington wouldn't be a bad dude.
No, if Romeo Crennel wanted to play him up front or Anthony Weaver, he would have been playing up
if
front.
If Anthony Weaver wanted him to play.
Right, of course. He would have been
if, like,
playing.
If he went into O'Brien's office, then he would have played.
He would have, of course.
Okay.
Okay.
So
that is a need of theirs, right? That is something that they realize is a need of theirs. I, like Seth, I wonder about the approach because, I mean, I've seen these deals that they gave to Angelo Blackson, like, that to me feels like they're happy with, like, the current crop of defensive linemen that they have.
Well, he didn't make very much money. They like him against the run, and it is a need, but nothing where, like, it is offensive tackle or cornerback. They're not desperate.
I've had to readjust. Like, I'm turning into an old man now where I haven't adjusted to the new prices on things because it is – it's like Angelo Blackson, it's a healthy deal, but it's spread out over a few years, and – now, if you're a veteran player that's capable of starting, you're going to be making over $1 million a year. You know, and Angelo's is averaging, what, about $3 million a year?
He's averaging $4 million a year.
$4 million a year, but that's like spread out over several years.
And he's a backup because Brandon Dunn's the nose and DJ Reader's the right end in the three-man front. then Blackson comes in the rotation.
And they have Joel Heath still. That's what's intriguing to me. Like, and I'm assuming Carlos Watkins is in the fold as well. So, I mean, do they think that they have their six guys? Because traditionally, like,
no, they want an inside pass rusher.
It's a lot of big fatties. Like I used to be one. I'm not insulting them. Right, yeah, but it's kind of just... It's a lot of the same types of guys that I feel like you can just plug in from one to the next. And I feel like they've wasted roster spots on having duplicated, like not even dupled, tripled, and quadrupled guys.
They believe Watkins is ready to step up and replace Covington in the rotation.
Okay, which is why it makes sense that they let Covington walk away. John McClain with us on a Wednesday, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Flipping sides of the football, the Texans making two moves so far this week, signing backup quarterback A.J. McCarron, 1 year, $3 million. Also signing tight end Darren Fells as well. With the Fells signing, he's a blocking tight end, should help out the offensive line. John, does this mean that Ryan Griffin's time is coming to a close?
First thing I thought about, they're not going to keep four tight ends. They really like Jordan Akins. They really like Jordan Thomas. Those guys are going into the second year when they should make their biggest improvement. But Ryan is a receiver, not a blocker. Akins is a receiver, worked hard to improve as a blocker. Jordan Thomas can do both. But Fells is such an unusual guy because he's a basketball player who played in college, played professionally in Argentina, and usually a guy like that would be a finesse guy who's a receiver, but Fells is supposed to be a pretty good blocker. He's 6'7", he's 270, and they need that. Instead of bringing in that third offensive lineman as a tight end, they can bring in a guy, if he makes the team, bring him in and have him for a season as at least a threat on the line to catch the ball.
It's true. They missed Kendall Lamb last year when they had him underperforming at tackle instead of coming in and being a somewhat impressive sixth offensive lineman, fake tight end.
Yes.
It's like, we really missed his fake tight endness that kept him around for the first 3 years.
It does seem like the Griffin-Darren Fells thing will be a training camp battle, right? They signed Darren Fells. Like, they're not going to cut Ryan Griffin now.
I don't know if they were. I guess they already would have, because if I'm Ryan, I go in there and say, hey, if I'm losing my job, cut me now. Because there's not a lot of tight ends in free agency who can catch.
Yes.
And I'd want to be unrestricted, and he'd get another job.
Ryan Griffin is trade bait for Gary Kubiak up in Minnesota, where Gary will say, maybe he's kind of, sort of, almost like a poor man's Owen Daniels. Let's get him up here.
Second round pick, yeah.
Yeah.
And Gary could get any. He could get Paul open. He can just get these tight ends open.
He's going to insult Owen Daniels right to my face like
no,
that.
No, I love Owen Daniels. I love Owen Daniels. But I mean, like any guy he brought in, Joel Dreesen, James Casey, they were all wide open. I love OD.
Did you see me running routes on my Instagram at Paulie Galanta a couple weeks back?
You're fast.
Football? Yeah,
I mean, look, Owen wasn't a great blocker, Paul, but I think compared to you and your body type, I think he had you beat there.
I don't know, man. I mean,
you got to be able to block a little bit, you know.
You know, you just stand in front of the guy. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, just
shield them.
John McClain. John McClain is with us on a Wednesday. Time now for Mad Takes. More bad news for LeBron James and the Lakers. There have been rumors recently over the course of the last couple of days that maybe Doc Rivers might go across town, kind of, sort of, even though they play in the same building, go from the Clippers to the Lakers. But Doc Rivers said he is staying with the Clip Show.
I'm going nowhere. I can tell you that straight and up front. I'm going to be here until Steve says get out.
They're working on a deal on a new long-term extension. The paperwork has not been finalized, but it sounds like Doc is staying with the Clippers and the Lakers. If and when they fire Luke Walton, we'll need a new coach for the King.
Can the Lakers please piss off with all these rumors that they create to make their fans less angry at them? Because that's all I can think of as to why all these reasons come out. Hey, the Lakers are going to force the New Orleans Pelicans to trade Anthony Davis to them. Wrong. They're going to bring in, a great coach, Doc Rivers. He's going to go to the Lakers. Wrong. Because they're a joke organization and have been since 2011.
A joke organization.
They're a joke. They are. What? Am I wrong? Am I wrong? I mean, they got murdered, absolutely murdered by the Dallas Mavericks in 2011, and they have been nothing since then.
I can't defend them. I think you are on points on this one.
In the Luke Walton era, where nobody had ever once mentioned Luke Walton as a bright, young, up-and-coming coach who is just gonna, as soon as the Lakers hired him, all of a sudden, all these, he's long been talked about as a guy that's ready to step into this role because of his time with the West. No. You created that because that's what the narrative you wanted out there in L.A., where nobody even bothers, like, You go out to L.A. and it's everybody thinks they're in Hollywood where they can just write a script and make things happen. It just, everything's evaporating. Like, it's obvious if you haven't seen it before your eyes that LeBron is done and doesn't even care anymore.
Done.
You know what? Of the three, who are the three players who move the slowest on defense in the NBA?
Was it
Dirk Nowitzki?
James Harden.
James Harden. And LeBron James.
But he's still averaging 27, 8, and 8.5.
Yeah.
But you're right.
He could average more.
But he's still very good offensively.
But he's bad on defense. Yeah. You're 100% right. He is bad on defense. I cannot defend that either.
Doc Rivers would rather coach Patrick Beverley than LeBron James.
This is true.
And to be fair, like, LeBron James being done is still, like, he's still going to be awesome for another 5 years. He's just not going to be peak LeBron James.
Drinking too much wine. Speaking of drinking too much wine, you could argue that Stephen A. Smith from time to time comes off as that. I love Stephen A. Smith personally. The old ESPN host, and he was doing an interview yesterday talking about Mike Trout's brand new contract with Jeff Passan, and unfortunately, things did not go as planned.
Jeff Passan, having said all of that, we look at other individuals. A Mike Socha, for example, entering his 19th season as the manager for this ball club. Does a contract like Mike Trout apply more pressure to somebody like him to turn things around, or else Marina's going to move in a different direction?
Well, Socha is gone, actually. Brad Ausmus is the manager.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Angels. I totally forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about that because Mike Socha was one of my favorite guys. No problem.
There's a lot of shuffling going on during...
I love Stephen A.
I will totally defend that. Listen, now, it's weird that he had it ready that Socha was entering his 19th year when that was clearly not the case. But listen, Mike Socha was there forever. He was there for such a long time. I cannot honestly blame anybody for thinking Mike Socha was still the manager of the Angels. I think it's funny when Stephen A. Smith does this.
We're going to be on a national show. You should be up to date.
If you're going to talk about that topic.
I know.
He's not me.
I'll defend it. Socha was there for so long, and it wasn't like huge news when they moved on from him.
I'll be honest.
Wait. But he's talking specifically about that team and that
I know.
No,
I know.
Excuse for that.
I will defend him on
it. They have its television. He has, or was that his radio show?
That was, I think it sounded like TV.
Like, he has TV? Time TV to prepare for it. You know what you're going to be talking about like 2 hours in advance, like a little bit of cursory Google of a situation. What the hell? I'm like, there's no excuse for that.
I defend it.
It'd be excused if it was one-off. Like, I excuse all the time because I have to. Like, when people say the wrong name when they obviously mean something else or they have a little flub, he's had egregious errors in people talking about people who aren't even on teams. Like,
in the NFL this past season, right, he had a couple of guys on the Chargers that he screwed up.
Yeah, and it's not like where he just obviously was thinking of one guy but said the wrong name or something. He's being worked. He's being worked to the bone. His fingers are being, his vocal cords are being worked to the core because they've got him doing so many different things.
It's like Cashley got eviscerated for saying the Cowboys threw the ball too much to Dez Bryant last season.
Well, there was no excuse for that.
Like, you're right. There wasn't any excuse.
But he obviously meant Amari Cooper.
No, he didn't.
He
couldn't have meant Amari Cooper because that wasn't an issue because Amari Cooper came in and changed the offense.
But he obviously didn't mean Dez Bryant.
I don't know what I think he might have.
Threw it too much to Amari Cooper.
Hold on. You guys honestly think that Charlie Casserly thought the Cowboys threw too much?
In the moment he kind of like skipped frames a little bit. I'll do this sometimes. I'll get like dyslexia with teams.
Yeah.
And I'll talk like I've done it before. There's no excuse for when I do it, and there's no excuse for when he does it.
But Charlie knows that Dez Bryant
If he sits down and thinks about it, yes. In that moment. His brain skipped a couple of years, I think.
And the neurons were misfiring.
And went back into, because there's no way, even if he meant to Amari Cooper, he wouldn't have had that take. It wasn't, throwing to Amari Cooper too much wasn't a problem last year.
With Charlie Casserly's accent, Amari Cooper could sound like Dez Bryant. You could make that spin zone, Mike.
That is possible, I suppose.
Be sure I get all the names correct here.
Write it down.
I'm going to get at least one name wrong. I don't know if y'all remember last year when J.R. Smith reportedly threw a cup of soup at Cavs assistant coach Damon Jones. You remember all that?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that details hadn't really emerged until now. On Jalen and Jacoby, where some white dude was filling in, who would be the white guy filling in on Jalen and Jacoby?
Well, Jacoby is the white guy who does the show, I think.
Oh,
with
he is?
Jalen. Yes.
There you go. There's my moment. Jacoby is the white guy. I thought it was going to be Jalen and Jacoby Jones.
that would be funny.
So Jacoby's the white guy.
He is.
Yeah.
He's the white guy.
Is Jacoby his first name?
It's Dave Jacoby, right?
Oh, all right, okay. Here we go.
I don't know.
This
what
is.
Gonna be? I don't
that's
listen
what
to this.
You listen to Paul.
No. Why would I listen to this? No. I like Jalen Rose, but I'm not going to listen to that.
This is Dave. What is it? Is it a radio show or is it a TV show?
It's like a podcast TV show kind of deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they put it on at night.
I'd say that's assault, right?
Absolutely.
Like a hot. He said it was the first bowl out of the soup.
That's battery. That's a
whole
mess.
That's like scalding hot liquid.
Did Smith get in trouble?
He did. What happened to him? Did he get suspended for
bit? I think they might have suspended him at that point.
I bet that they just whimsically said to themselves, that's our JR. That rascal.
JR is going to JR.
Just
what
feeding the
do?
Team.
He got a one-game suspension. And I'll tell the audience this, because I know Damon Jones a little bit, because we used to do the shows at CSN Houston, rest in peace, about 4 or 5 years ago. I've hung out with Damon, and this dude is like the nicest guy in the world. I know I didn't play basketball for Damon Jones, obviously, but I find it really hard to imagine how anybody could be so angry at Damon Jones, period. Like, he is a super, super nice guy.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody looked at that and thought, wow, I bet Damon Jones is in the wrong.
Good point.
Like, J.R. Smith got in an altercation with blank. The expectation was that it was J.R. Smith's fault, was it not? Like, J.R. went home that
absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely.
And you know his family and his kids were like, Daddy, what'd you do? Why'd you do this again? Why are you risking your livelihood?
Why do we not have this money from your one game that you missed from the suspension? John, so you are writing an Astros column about spring training for Texas Sports Nation.
I did. We got another mock draft. Aaron Wilson and I, mock draft 7-0. I'll talk to you guys next week from Arizona when I will be at the league meetings in Scottsdale. And I have a column on Sunday about it. And thank you very much,
hey,
as always.
Is Bob Kraft going to be there, you think?
I can't imagine he would be. Because like Roger Goodell does his news conference on Wednesday, I'll guarantee he's going to get multiple questions about Kraft that have nothing to do with that meeting, because it's the first time anybody had a shot at Goodell. So you know his high-powered crisis PR people are going to have prepared answers for him.
Yeah.
And Bill O'Brien will also meet with reporters.
Coaches breakfast on Tuesday. Coaches have to sit there for an hour. The only time ever they have to sit for an hour.
An hour.
An hour. And you can watch Bill's facial contortions as he answers the same questions over and over.
Does he actually eat?
He does eat.
Ask him just a hypothetical. Say, what would you do if your owner got caught in a Bob Kraft situation?
I'm sure he'd love
I'll
that.
I'll say, hey, Bill, Seth Payne wanted me to ask you. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, John.